1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief.
Heavens are roaring.
A vigil at the Kennedy Center for conservative activist Charlie Kirk. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The best way to honor his memory and to honor his unmatched legacy is to live as Charlie did.
Investigators say the 22-year-old suspected gunman is not cooperating with their probe. A financial request in the wake of Kirk's assassination. CBS's Willie James Inman.
So the Trump administration is requesting $58 million in emergency funding for security for the executive branch and funding to protect judges.
15-year-old British actor Owen Cooper, now the youngest male Emmy winner ever. He took last night's prize for Netflix, Adolescence.
It may have my name on this wall, but it really belongs to the people behind the camera and Stephen and all that, all the cast. So, yeah, and I hope you all have an amazing night and good night.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Members of the legislature are considering their own security. Savannah Tolme Olson reports.
Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
The Pack is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers get ready now to play the Cleveland Browns. The Browns losing to the Ravens yesterday in Baltimore, 41-17. But Jordan Love will be without one of his best receivers, Jaden Reed, Matt LaFleur.
Unfortunately, he broke his collarbone, so he'll be down for quite some time. We'll see. Certainly, I would expect him back at some point this season, but obviously it's a big blow to us.
College football, the Badgers host Maryland next after losing in Alabama 38-14 on Saturday. Luke Fickell.
Well, that's obviously not easy to swallow. And the truth of the matter is, I told those guys that was a much better team than we are right now.
Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Cardinals yesterday 3-2, but that's okay. The Crew, the first team in the major leagues this year to clinch a playoff spot.
It's been a joy for me to be around a group of guys that have taken this, that uncommon mindset, as serious as they've taken it.
That's Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternad. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Monday morning, September 15th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, and whether it's on the radio or by a podcast, over the website, social media, we appreciate you getting your week started right here. I got a question for you. Should I question whether I even own a TV or if it is some other kind of weird device? I mean, to watch the Emmys last night and all the shows I have never heard of win awards. Maybe my TV is some kind of relic, or maybe I'm the relic. I'm not sure. We'll talk about that, including, however, one particular moment during the Emmys. It was emblematic of how TV is different now compared to when TV used to bring us all together. And we got that moment in a single song that we'll talk about later this hour. Also coming up, the candidate list for 2026 for the election. It's growing longer. Just this morning, about an hour ago, we got the email with confirmation from State Senator Kelda Royes. She is now a candidate for governor. She made the announcement early this morning saying, quote, "With everything on the line, Wisconsin needs a governor who's been training for this moment her whole career and knows how to deliver. We can't afford to wait, no matter who you are or where you're from. You deserve the freedom to thrive right now." Again, that's Kelda Royes announcing this morning that she's running for governor. Let's see. Of course, this all started with Governor Tony Evers deciding not to run for a third term. So Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is also a candidate for governor. Now that leaves the Lieutenant Governor spot open in 2026. Current Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski is now running for the LG post, opening up the Secretary of State role. And that leads us into today's show, where we will talk live with Milwaukee City Council member Jocasta Zamarripa, a former legislator who is now running for Wisconsin's Secretary of State. And of course, we may have other candidate announcements even right here on the show in the coming days. So stay tuned for all of that. But again, Kelda Royes in the race for governor, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, all on the Democratic side. Washington County Executive Josh Showman, along with businessman Bill Berrien, on the Republican side, for a primary election that will take place 11 months from now. Also this morning, we're going to be talking about how far-right provocateur Charlie Kirk symbolized the fight over free speech as universities faced pressure to cancel his appearances, but they also faced pressure not to give in to so-called cancel culture. And that makes it really ironic that the most tangible activity in the country in the days after Charlie Kirk's murder has been a wave of firings of people for expressing their own points of view. and threats of firings from people like a member of Congress from Western Wisconsin, who we did talk about a bit on Friday to answer the question from Tony on YouTube. I wonder who we're going to talk about today, he says. I have one guess. Yeah, the guess is Derek Van Orden, because when we mentioned him late last week, he had posted dozens of times with emotional reactions to Charlie Kirk's murder and the reactions to that killing. Dozens of times. It is now in the hundreds. He has posted hundreds. He has been on a stream of posting all weekend long on what used to be known Twitter, mostly threatening to cut off federal funding for people or groups, or now entire cities. Entire cities. The entire city of Ellsworth, he says, is in my district, but I'm going to cut funding to them because I didn't like how one city employee reacted to Charlie Kirk's death. The entire Mayo Clinic system. He's threatening to cut off federal funding for the entire Mayo. He can't do that. He doesn't have the time to do that. He's wasting our time and resources, but he's also giving off a vibe that should genuinely concern his family and loved ones. So we'll get into all of that. Also, the current president and his party may be shamelessly trying to drag America back to the days of coal and oil generating most of our power and pollution, but plenty of other people are pushing back against that, and we're going to talk to Robert Craig from Citizen Action Wisconsin about the ways they're making sure lawmakers are aware of the direction being demanded by most Americans, and it does not involve being dragged back to the past and ignoring the problems of a changing climate. So that, and oh my goodness, so much more. We've got Jimmy Koska talking about sports. I think Jane Mantner's back from vacation. Brittany Merlot is still on hers, and so she'll be back tomorrow. John and Gordy from our Madison station. And if you can't stick around for all of this, and you know, you probably have jobs and things like that, but we all always want to make sure that you have this program as an option any old time, get over to Spotify and sign up to be a follower of this show. Subscribe to it on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts, and take us along with you so that you can listen on demand. Okay, I mentioned Brittany Merlot coming back tomorrow. Where am I next on the list? Oh, I got food and I got weekend stuff. I'm going to need somebody to help me out with this. Parker Olson is standing by. There he is now in Madison Studio A2 as I learn which buttons to push to bring him up. Mr. Olson, yeah. How are you?
I am good. You have piqued my interest because you said that you had food to talk about and weekends to talk about. Those are two things I'm a fan of.
The Kreitlow Kitchen was a busy one yesterday. Well, once again, from neighbors who shared, you know, what they pulled off their apple tree. Uh-huh. And so once again, from Sherry, another delicious batch of apple crisp and some applesauce as well. So very good. And then this one sounds a little odd, but we went for comfort food as well.
Yeah.
In part because I said on the radio, I think a week before last, was it like National Shepherd's Pie Day or something?
That sounds
and
familiar.
I said, oh, I'm going to make that. And people said, have you made it yet? No, it's summer. It's hot. But I got the ingredients.
There you go.
Let's do that. So I got out the big cast iron pan and I put together another shepherd's pie after Sherry made the apple crisp. So it was a little hot in the kitchen yesterday on a hot day. But you know what? To have comfort food like that, like shepherd's pie and like apple crisp. I mean, I got the leftovers now for the next couple of days on the shepherd's pie. You know what I had for breakfast this morning?
Shepherd's
apple
pie.
Crisp. No, apple crisp. Okay. Come on. I'm not a savage.
No, obviously.
I got that going for me. Right. It was good. There was the fall festival in Eau Claire, downtown Eau Claire. And that goes on for many blocks of booths and exhibits and entertainment. And it was a perfect Saturday morning to do that. We did the last pontoon ride of the season, we think, because of the dates that we've set up to have the boat taken out and put the dock up, you know, before winter and all that. And we've got other plans and things. So, you know, and the weather was perfect when we did this on Saturday. So we're like, yeah, let's call this one good. Let's make sure we end on a high note. So one last boat ride. And then from my point of view, getting in the hammock one more time for an extended period. I'm getting better at that.
Yeah?
I have to admit, I haven't mentioned this for a while now, but a couple of years back, I would talk about being in the hammock and I could barely stay in there 60 seconds.
Okay.
Because as soon as I would start to relax, my mind would start to go to all the things I could be doing right now. I should be cleaning the garage, or I should be doing this. And I'd feel guilty, and I'd eventually get out of the hammock and I'd start working again and get tired again. And I'm definitely better now of like, look, if I'm getting in that hammock, my butt is staying right here for a while. So
it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Let's see. From Tony here, I was watching the kids this weekend trying to figure out what to make for dinner, then saw your post about shepherd's pie and said, that's what I should make. The kids loved it. Thanks for the idea. Well, all right, Tony.
Look at you, Pat, that's making great. A positive influence on the world.
I know. Well, I may have posted. I'm not one of those people that posts a lot of food pictures. I was especially proud of this post. And so Alicia puts up on YouTube, I saw it. It looked so good. Well, there you go.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah. So a little shepherd's pie. And I don't want to get the note. Like, it's not shepherd's pie. You know, shepherd's pie is made with veal or whatever.
Oh, whatever.
And apparently if it's made with ground beef, it's called something else. No.
Who cares?
That maybe back in the mother country, you know, you know, and the Brits want to talk that way. That's fine. But we don't need veal. We don't need mincemeat. This is America. We got ground beef here. We got lots of ground beef. And that's how we make our shepherd's pie. So there you go. Luke Mathers on the text line. Pat Kreitlow, food influencer. Well, I mean, I influenced Tony. I don't know that makes me an influencer yet, but I'll take it.
And you might have made Alicia hungry, too. So,
and, yeah, that's right.
So two people influenced.
Tony, it's called better, I believe. Yes, when we make it, we make it better. And, of course, there was plenty of sports to watch. And granted, the Brewers couldn't come back yesterday. They did fall short to the Cardinals 3-2, so they couldn't quite pull off the sweep. But great victories on Friday and then again on Saturday. And that Saturday night one, I tell you, that was an amazing comeback. I feel bad for anybody who gave up on the Brewers Saturday when they were down in like the sixth inning and said, nope, it's time to go to bed. Anybody like that is me, because that's what I did. And woke up early Sunday morning and looked at my phone. I was like, what? Called up the highlights where the Brewers tied it in the bottom of the ninth. Then they fell behind in the top of the 10th. Then they tied it in the 10th, and then they won it in the 10th. And it was, if you go back and look at the game highlights, don't worry about yesterday's game. Go to Saturday's Brewers Cardinals game. That was a fun looking comeback. As for yesterday, again, losing 3-2, the Brewers could only muster a pair of solo home runs by Caleb Durbin and Danny Jansen. The Cubs won as well, so the Brewers' magic number to clinch the Central Division stands at 8. But let's not bury the lead here. That's the magic number to clinch the division. Over the weekend, the Brewers did, in fact, clinch a playoff berth, meaning conceivably they could lose every game for the rest of the season. They would still make the playoffs. Uh-huh. That's not going to happen. They're in. There's going to be October baseball. There so, yeah, yes.
Very excited. That's 7 out of 8 years now.
Yes. And wasn't the 1 year we didn't make it, wasn't it just by like a game we missed it? I don't think it was a particularly bad year. But
I don't think so either.
I could be wrong. Anyway, the Brewers' homestand continues. The Cardinals have left town, but today is an off day as the, what are we calling them now? The Los Angeles Angels. Yeah, as the Angels of Anaheim in Los Angeles County come to town Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night.
If you translate it to English, it's the Angels.
That's right.
I think we should go with that for the rest of the week.
I would be fine with that. So, again, off today, but Brewers and Angels coverage begins tomorrow at 6:05 on several Civic Media radio stations. Then again, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night games, all of them. And then they travel to St. Louis to play the Cardinals again next weekend. Of course, the Packers won back on Thursday against the Washington Commanders, and so now they are off until next Sunday. They will play Cleveland at noon next Sunday. And the Badgers were simply no match for the Crimson Tide. Alabama overpowered Wisconsin 38-14. Up next for the Badgers, they open the Big Ten part of their schedule, and that will be this coming Saturday, hosting Maryland, and that will include a 9 a.m. kickoff on several Civic Media stations. We'll get you updated on all that throughout the course of the week. Coming up, Derek Van Orden has crossed a line, several actually, politically, professionally, and perhaps the state of mind or his health. We'll get into that right after this. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
And welcome back to our true crime podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit ClearyBuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Remember, you can stay up to date with our unabashedly Wisconsin news by signing up for our newsletters over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe. Up in the top banner, today's edition from Ellie includes how to apply for FEMA flood relief and also a timely reminder from her that tomorrow is National Voter Registration Day. A good reminder to check your voter registration status and maybe make updates if you've moved and encourage other family and friends to register. Don't wait till everything gets busy next week. And in our Sunday edition from yesterday, I think I broke our readers. And I didn't mean to, but I passed along that Ron Johnson last week on the 9/11 anniversary was again sharing a conspiracy theory about the World Trade Center and that maybe there were explosives in the basement of Building 7 or just something ridiculous. My question to the readers yesterday was, if you could get Ron Johnson to stop talking forever about one conspiracy, which would it be? Oh, would it be the World Trade Center one? Would it be the COVID one? Would it be 2016 was actually a job by Ukraine and not Russia? Was it that 2020 was irregular? And I did not leave an option for all of the above. And that's what everybody demanded from all of, there were so many emails. How could you not give us an all of the above? Well, because I want to know which if you could get rid of one of them. But
what's the most disturbing conspiracy theory?
Yes. What's the most disturbing of these? And so people gave it their best guess. If you'd like to be first to see our question of the week, sign up for our newsletters, upnorthnewswi.com. All right. There seems to be a free speech issue causing a serious case of irony when it comes to discussing Charlie Kirk, both the murder and the legacy of his own speech during his life. There appears to be basically a growing trend that could be summed up as free speech for Charlie Kirk, but not free speech about Charlie Kirk. The far-right provocateurs symbolize the fights over political free speech, especially on our college campuses, because Kirk would be booked for certain engagements on universities, and then they would face pressure to cancel his appearances, knowing the hateful things he was about to say. But then they would also face pressure from others not to give in to so-called cancel culture. That's what makes it so ironic that the most tangible activity in this country in the days following Charlie Kirk's murder has been the wave of firings of people for expressing their own points of view, and threats of firings coming from people, including members of Congress, who would normally be the first to defend Charlie Kirk's right to speak out. There are members of Congress like Derek Van Orden, and yes, we have to talk about him again. It was one thing for him to be emotional about Charlie Kirk's murder and tweet more than 80 times in the first 24 hours after his death. Then on Friday, he tweeted another 161 times, and he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, but that's simply the nature of the man. He lacks the emotional maturity to be an effective public official. The more troubling tweets are the ones that call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy. On the federal funding alone, this needs to be said. If Van Orden actually tried to follow through on the many, many tweets, he would have a full-time job just doing that, having to look up each person, each institution, each item in the budget of the United States government, and try to get that number changed to zero. He's now threatening to do it with the city of Ellsworth in his district because he didn't like what an employee had to say. He's threatened to do it for the entire Mayo Clinic because he didn't like what somebody posted on there. He can't do all that. He doesn't have time to do all that. And even if he did, he'd be wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling on Twitter. I mean, if nothing else, maybe the congressman could travel his district a little bit more and notice all the soybean fields. The crop's looking good out there. But as we learned last week, China purchased more than $12 billion in soybeans from the U.S. last year. But thanks to Trump's made-up trade war, they have so far purchased no U.S. soybeans. So maybe Van Orden and Trump think it'll be enough to simply send support checks to farmers, but you won't be able to escape the image of soybeans piled up and rotting. So maybe he could work on that for his district instead of tweeting. But let's get back to what he is doing on Twitter. There's the firings, as we've seen in around the country. We've seen it on TV. We've seen it nationally. There's no shortage of examples, including here in Wisconsin. But it's just rich that these demands for firings from Van Orden and other Republicans come from people who love to claim that they've been persecuted for the things that they want to say. I mean, if anyone should be a champion for these newly jobless folks, it should be the Derek Van Ordens out there. But like I said, free speech for Charlie Kirk apparently was on a higher plane than free speech about Charlie Kirk. Now, don't get me wrong. We all have freedom of speech, but we are also subject to the consequences of what we say. This show, for example, could be canceled with one phone call if someone heard me say something that they thought brought shame or damage to the business. That's how it goes. But this isn't about the consequences coming from employers who bow to pressure from customers or advertisers or politicians. It's about the politicians demanding those consequences. The First Amendment doesn't protect you or me from employers who are angry or afraid, but it is supposed to protect us from the government infringing on our freedom to express ourselves. And Derek Van Orden right now is part of the government. And he and Donald Trump and so many of Charlie Kirk's supporters would love to infringe on the free speech of anyone whose speech they don't like. That's not how the First Amendment is supposed to work. But I guess I shouldn't be surprised that if they're not being true to the First Amendment, it's in line with how they've muddled up the Second Amendment and things like that. But that's a question for another day. In conclusion, this should be a time of unity, all of us together acknowledging that political violence has no place in a civil society. But that's not where we are right now, with a congressman whose obsession with tweeting threats and insults right now should be truly concerning to the people who care about him. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Oh, commodity prices are getting squeezed at the farm gate, but there is one element that may at least remain flat. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. What is that element? Answer next.
From sugar beet fields to dairy facilities, producers count on an operating line of credit from Ag Country Farm Credit Services to help make their operations more profitable. With multi-year commitment options, digital tools and remote deposit, and the ability to only borrow what you need when you need it, our operating line of credit makes financing your needs easier. Visit agcountry.com/lineofcredit or call 800-450-9858 to learn more. Terms apply. See website for details.
One of the major expenses that farms look at during the harvest is diesel costs. Jason Schwantz is the Senior Vice President of Energy with CHS Cooperative. He said, well, supplies have been a little tight through the summer months because some refineries have been retooling. Now, he says, producers should hopefully be looking forward to a little bit lower, if not flat, costs. But he advises, buy early.
I think we're going to kind of be in this trough here. Fuel is a little more expensive, but from a year ago, it's actually down. So I think right now is actually a good time to buy. I think supply is going to get tighter as we go into that harvest because you're just going to have heavy, heavy demand. And from everything I've heard, there is an extremely good corn and soybean crop out there, which I think everybody is very happy about. I don't know that they're exactly happy about where the commodity prices are at, but hopefully we can have a bountiful harvest and have a really good crop out there. But it's going to take a lot of fuel to go over that crop.
That advice from Jason Schwantz, the Senior Vice President of Energy for CHS Cooperative. He said, well, some refineries did retool this summer. Others have yet to do their retooling. He said that's why they're bringing more supplies to the marketplace right now.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And today, Wisconsin Senator Pat Tested and Representative Scott Krug are introducing a bill that opens the doors for farmers and solar developers to work together locally to generate power that subscribers in Wisconsin can use. It also will give local towns and municipalities control over siting those projects. We'll keep you posted. That's a look at what's happening in food news for a Monday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We have another warm, summery day on the way. Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 85 this afternoon. The wind just light out of the southeast at 5 to 10. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the upper 50s to low 60s. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show...
I'm back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jane is back, and we catch up on all the news she missed while she was away. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome to today's history lesson, where on this day in 1949, The Lone Ranger appeared and premiered on ABC. They do love their gunfire in shows like this.
I had a little cap gun. Did you have a cap gun when you were little?
Of course. Yep.
Yeah. And we used to like go on the couch, on the edges of the couch. My sister and I would hold on to the arms and we would gallop. Like by bouncing up and down on the couch while we were watching the Lone Rangers. That's a fond memory for me.
Okay. Well, there you go. Lone Ranger premiered this day in 1949. Let's go way up to 1986. We're doing like the season premiere, series premiere thing, of course, because it's that time of year. In 1986, this show premiered on NBC. Can you guess the show by the theme song? Hit it. Well, that's just... Kristen does not have it.
I don't have it.
It's You're like, not supposed to have it.
It's like Law and Order or...
L.A. Law. Yes.
L.A. Law. It was the first of the law shows.
Yes. And it was created by Stephen Bochco. The ensemble cast included Corbin Burnson, Jill Eikenberry, Susan Day, Harry Hamlin. And, of course, that sax in the beginning, which was on anything made in the 80s. Everything in the 80s had that sax in some way, shape, or form.
That's why I played the sax.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. For like 1 year. I wasn't good.
All right. Well, there it is again. Yep. Mike Post. Mike Post, who did like 500 different TV themes, did that one for L.A. Law. Let's see. The number one song this week in 1962 was by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
Aw, is this a special song in your house?
It is not. No.
Hard no.
Somebody does not like that song.
I mean, this song.
Apparently, it was sung to her a lot as a kid, so it's kind of it's worn out its usefulness. Same goes, by the way, with Steve Perry's "Oh Sherry" from the 80s. Mm. Also, she's just not one of those. Doesn't want songs about her.
Do you have a song about you, Pat?
Do I have a song about me? I don't know. Muskrat Love, maybe? I don't
Juggernaut
know.
Muskrat one.
Oh, the Juggernaut song. Yeah. I'm still trying to figure out if that was.
Oh, you actually have a real song that's actually about you yourself.
No. The song's title is Kreitlo, but it's a very disturbing song about something or another, and I have no idea how they came to call it that. And one of these days, I'm going to work up the courage to reach out to the band and say, what the heck was that about? Or since they're an Eau Claire bass band, we send Selena Heller, who joins us now from Up North News. Ms. Heller, how are you?
Good. Good morning. There's a song that's Selena, and that there's a local band from Menominee.
Really?
Yeah. I took Emery, and I got a hold of the people, like, can you sing the song? So Emery hears, and she's like, what?
Never nice. All right. All right. Let's get back to our history lesson. Helen Reddy had the number one song this week in 1973.
Whose version of this song was bigger, hers or Tanya Tucker?
Good question. Definitely Helen Reddy on the Hot 100, Tanya Tucker on the country charts. They both... had really good chart performance with it. Prince Harry has a birthday today. Little Prince Harry is not Little Prince Harry anymore. He's 41 years old today. Actor Tommy Lee Jones is 79 years old today. He is so good. There's been so many good movies with Tommy Lee Jones. And yet, you cannot mark his birthday without playing one clip in particular from The Fugitive.
What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area. Checkpoints go up in 15 miles. Your fugitive's name is Dr. Richard Kimball.
He's just so good. I really like
him. I love the fugitive.
79 years old today. Former roommate of Al Gore back in college.
Adorable.
Oliver Stone is also 79 years old today. Former NFL quarterback Dan Marino from the Miami Dolphins, 64 today. On this day in 1983, one of those early 80s albums that I wore out was released on, what is this, September 15th, 1983. That would be Huey Lewis and the News, and the album was Sports. There were five hits off that album. I Want a New Drug, Walking on a Thin Line, Heart and Soul, If This Is It, and of course, The Heart of Rock and Roll. The album would sell more than 7 million copies. On this day in 1982, the first issue of USA Today was put out by Gannett. And everybody thought that was going to save newspapers because it was all colorful, you know, and had just the four same sections every day. And it was a big deal for the longest time. When was the last time you bought a newspaper? Period. You know?
I've never bought a newspaper in my life.
It is, folks. There's the line. Yep. If you're ever looking for the generational line, it's like if you're digging through sediment and you get to a line and go, wow, there must have been like a doomsday event here. That's Parker was born and then nobody bought newspapers anymore after that.
Yeah, it's my fault, guys.
This week in 1990, the number one hit was by the group Wilson Phillips. Oh, dear. My apology. Yes, this is Release Me. I meant to get you somewhere up in the chorus rather than the intro, but they do have some good harmony here in the beginning. Wilson Phillips was made up of sisters Carney and Wendy Wilson, the daughters of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, and Chyna Phillips, the daughter of John and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. And this song, Release Me, was their second single and their second number one hit. Their first single, Hold On, also went to number one a couple of months earlier.
I always wondered, like, did they play together when they were little kids? Is
yes.
that how they knew yes. each other?
Yep, they are childhood friends. Yep, aww. That's exactly how it worked. All right, so let me ask you now, Kristen, you did not watch the Emmys last night at all?
I did not.
Okay. I knew I should have sent you a homework assignment. Selena, do you catch the Emmys at all?
I am not an Emmy watcher.
Okay. I'm not surprised for this reason. There's 9,000 networks out there. I mean, they made a joke yesterday in one of the categories about how, you know, just these five women are up for these awards when, I mean, how many actresses would be eligible for it? And, you know, you'd think it's maybe whatever it is. They joked that it was 25,000. And it feels like that. It feels like there's 25,000 potential shows or actors or actresses. But there was a moment that unified them all that I want to talk to you about in just a minute. But first off, the show was hosted by Nate Bargatze, and where are we on Nate? Everybody likes Nate? Doesn't like Nate? Don't know? Don't care?
I think he's funny.
I vaguely remember the name.
Oh, okay. All right. Got nothing.
Oh, there's
here.
A Saturday Night Live skit about measurement that
see,
you
now,
really need to see.
Yes. Now, and that's how he opened the show. He opened the show as the inventor of TV, Philo T. Farnsworth, and all the other guys in the lab who also were from Saturday Night Live last night. We're asking him questions about it, like, you know, we will have channels like, what's one that does it now? Cable News Network that does news. What about one called The Learning Channel? Nope, that will just be shows about something else. What about The History Channel? Oh, that will be shows about aliens. You know, and music television is no longer about music or anything like that. He pulled it off far better than I'm describing. But he also had this shtick to try to keep people to 45 seconds or less in their acceptance speeches, starting off by saying he was going to donate $100,000 to the Boys and Girls Club of America, but he was going to take $1,000 off for each second that anybody went over 45 seconds.
Wow. He'd be a horrible person if you wanted
to. Yeah, some people's speeches were like, come on, sit down already. You're doing it for, think of the kids. And then other people, like one time when John Oliver got up, he gave like the fastest thing. I'm going to thank this person. All right, pay up, Nate. And then you rush off stage, you know, and then he'd have to put $1,000 back on for every second. But in the end, the windbags won. And so the money was essentially wiped out. Which, and then Nate Bargatze said, no, we're going to keep the money and add to it. And actually, $350,000 was donated total. So that was nice. But I really was wondering if I owned a TV based on the show. I've never seen The White Lotus. I've never seen Severance. I've never seen Seth Rogen's The Studio. And The Studio was like the big winner yesterday. It set some kind of a record for Emmy wins. 13 total Emmys. Has anybody here seen Seth Rogen's The Studio on Apple TV?
No, but I'll tell you, because I've been laid up for a couple weeks, and so I've been doing some channel flipping, which is unusual for me, and it's overwhelming the number of shows that are out there and the way that they're trying to convince you to watch all the different shows. I just didn't ever know what to pick, so I ended up not watching anything.
See, that's what you're overwhelmed.
I do that all the time. Yes.
What? Yes. Well, here's one I think you would be watching. Noah Wiley has a narrative that just can't be denied. Yeah, he got 5 nominations for ER a quarter century ago and never won. 30 years later, he puts on Scrubs, and he last night won his first Emmy for playing another emergency doctor on the show The Pitt.
That's nice.
Yeah. Hmm. So
I was an ER person. I did watch that back then, but I have not watched The Pitt. But although my doctor friends, who tend to be pretty critical about doctor shows, tell me it's actually quite good.
Oh.
Well, and as evidenced by the awards that it's been
9 out of 10 doctors approve of that show.
I cannot verify those statistics.
Okay.
Yes, that seems about right. Yep.
So let me say this about the way that TV's all fragmented and everybody's off watching their own thing. There was a moment when they paid tribute to another show that had premiered 40 years ago this week. So if I were to say the first line from the theme song, would you be able to fill in the next line from Golden Girls? If I said, thank you for being a friend, you'd sing what?
Travel down
the road and back again. Yeah. Again? Why? And you know what? The whole audience was singing it. The whole audience was like moving to the song and like, you know, digging on the Golden Girls as they put up clips. And Sherry put it perfectly. She's like, that's when TV was what we thought it would be, is it brought us all together. Everybody watched Golden Girls because there were only 3 or 4 channels on your TV, not 7,000. Mm-hmm. And maybe we need more of that, of shows that we all want to watch that aren't just called the Super Bowl.
You know, I remember Dallas when JR got shot and the whole country was wondering who shot JR, and they kept us in suspense for an entire summer. I mean, I was a little kid at the time, but that was like a huge cultural thing. We don't have that anymore.
My friend and I were just having a conversation, and he was like, you know, there's nothing good prime time show that you want to watch every week on a network like there used to be. There used to be Friends and all of that. Yes. And, you know, there's just not that anymore.
No. And frankly, I think part of the reason we watch reruns of The Big Bang Theory so much is it might have been like the last show that got that many millions of viewers at once on network TV. And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Abbott Elementary on ABC, was that the only broadcast network show that was even up for Emmys? I think so.
Shout out to one of my neighbors up in Door County who actually developed that show. So there's a Wisconsin connection there, and she has an Emmy for Abbott Elementary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's
writing
great.
Writing that down, Kristen.
Okay. That's going to be a good story for you in the future.
Yeah, and we're going to hear more from Selena on stories that she's working on, including an unusual demonstration that was held last week against budget cuts and healthcare cuts, complete with a movie theme and costumes. Selena's going to tell us all about that coming up after the news. And we'll talk to Robert Craig from Citizen Action, pushing back against Donald Trump and others trying to drag us back to the days when your cell phone was powered by shoveling coal into it. And other things that big oil would love to have us be doing going ahead and continuing to just tear up the climate. And a lot of people would like to say no thank you to all that. Live from the lake, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Transforming your land with a John Deere compact tractor is as easy as connect, latch, load, haul, spread. cutting grass is as simple as roll, click, mow. Box blading is as effortless as hook, lock, grade. And backhoeing is as convenient as turnaround, switch, dig. Because when you've got the versatility to tackle just about any job and dealer support in your own backyard, you just have to get in the seat. Find the right compact tractor for you at johndeere.com.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Hi, my name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires. I'm also the author of a new book, Burned by Billionaires, How Concentrated Wealth and Power are Ruining Our Lives and Planet. This summer proved to all of us that climate change is real and it is deadly. And I'm here to tell you that a small group of billionaires are making it worse. Did you know that billionaire Jeff Bezos' wife, Lauren Sanchez, emitted more carbon in her 11-minute Blue Origin space flight than the average person emits in a lifetime? Did you know that the average super yacht produces as much carbon emissions as 1,500 regular vehicles? And that private jets emit 10 to 20 times more pollutants per passenger than commercial airplanes? So who should pay for climate change? People like you who recycle and turn off the lights when you leave the room, or billionaires who take joyrides in space? Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Ladies and gentlemen, pets, imaginary friends, take a listen down memory lane and spread the 411 with 97.5 FM WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, we will play it Sunday nights 8 to 9. Send me your requests with your beeper, or maybe DM me on the socials, or email me james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Sunday nights 8 to 9 on WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Booyah!
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 12th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by our good friends from Assumption Catholic Schools. We got Matt Zakowski with us right now. Matt, always good to see you. How you
James, been? James, great being back. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We got a lot to get into today, Matt, especially with the beginning of the school year for Assumption and all of our local schools and everything. Let's dive right in where we, when you think of the beginning of school, you think homecoming. You think homecoming week, Matt.
Homecoming is rapidly coming upon us, James, and you're right. School kicked off for us last week of August. Things are in full bloom. Kids are doing well, from what I see. And you're exactly right. Homecoming is quickly coming upon us. And homecoming for Assumption this year is September 29th through October 4th. We have a lot going on that week. And of course, homecoming is always something for our alumni to come back and just celebrate their time that they had at Assumption.
When's the, so you mentioned it's September 29th through October 4th. Things really get going on Wednesday, October 1st. Got Assumption's tailgate from 5 to 6:30. They've got some fun with that.
You know, everything, James, primarily takes place at our high school. I mean, I know our other schools have some activities going, but there is a lot of planning that takes place for this and a lot of work. And, you know, Amber France is our principal. She kind of spearheads a lot of this. And as you mentioned, on Wednesday, October 1st, we have our tailgate. That is also a fundraiser, so it's not a traditional tailgate like you would see for the Brewers or the Packers.
Sure, sure.
But we have some pulled pork and mac and cheese. And that begins from 5 to 6:30. And then we have a pep rally that takes place right afterwards at 6:30. Everyone's invited. This is open to the public. And it's most important that everyone knows that the proceeds goes towards our 8th grade field trip to Washington, D.C. that will take place sometime early next year.
A wonderful opportunity for those 8th graders and a wonderful opportunity for our community to help out with that, invest in the future, invest in these kids, be a part of it, and also have some fun. You're right about the not traditional maybe tailgate, but some of the food and some of the energy and stuff. Your normal tailgate. You got pulled pork and mac and cheese. You got a good tailgate already just with that.
They do it right. Just the again, these are things, James, that people put on, but there is work. But it's a labor of love for people that do it.
Yeah.
So we really encourage the community to come on out. It is really a special week for us. And then I may jump ahead on Thursday, which is October 2nd. We have a mass for all our schools at 10 a.m. That takes place in the gymnasium and in the high school. Then we have a parade that goes right around the neighborhood of the high school at 12 noon, which takes place a little bit after the mass. Friday, October 4th, our football team will take on Pittsville High School at the Southwood County Stadium. And then on Saturday is really the main conclusion of homecoming week. It's our homecoming dance, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the high school. Mm-hmm. Our teachers are looking forward to chaperoning this event.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
It'll be fun.
That football game, by the way, Pittsville versus Assumption, I remind everybody out there that don't know, this is the final season for Assumption in 12-man football. This is a historical season for Assumption fans, alumni, everybody involved. I say get in many of these games as you can. And if you know a little bit about the team, there's a lot of these kids putting their heart and soul into this team and working their tails off. And you have evidence of that of already an upset this season for the Assumption Royals.
I think they beat Pichelli.
Yeah, yeah. And that victory is one of the only ones this season is going to be noteworthy. It's a noteworthy season. I encourage people to check in these games, especially if you're a fan of, even if you didn't go to Assumption, you're a high school football fan. This is a historical season. Encourage you to check it out. I know we're covering as much of it as we possibly can around here. And I want to mention this team. There's a different energy to when you're playing like this and you're playing for those with those stakes and all that. You see what Assumption's already done this season. Be on the lookout. It's going to be fun.
James, that is such a great point that you mentioned. And it is a special season because it's our last season of 11-a-side football. Mm-hmm. And I think these kids somehow know that. The coaches definitely are aware of it. So it really is an end of an era as far as that, as we transition to 8-a-side next year. And if anything else, that win over Pichelli will make the season, regardless of what happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The kids, I really like the point that you made, that they do perform their hearts out.
Yeah.
As we mentioned last month, come on out, watch football the way spiritually it should be played. Mm-hmm. And, the Packers are off to a great start. The Badgers will find out more tomorrow against Alabama.
But see how they rank up, yeah.
Come on and watch the Royals from Assumption, especially on homecoming as they take on Pittsville.
That'll be Friday, October 4th, over at Southwood County Stadium. Pittsville coming to town, 7 o'clock start. And then, of course, coming up, you've got another good fundraising opportunity for people, and a really, really one that I don't know how many people could not enjoy this. The upcoming Music Gala Sister Act. Great idea. Fun show.
It is it's the first musical we've done since 2019.
I thought it had been a while.
It's been a while. Then we had COVID and things were kind of put on the shelf, but we have a very committed director, Ryan Husted, very passionate. He has things in the place. He has enough kids to have this play. We were kind of concerned about that at first.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that's really special about this, James, it's really acting as our main fundraiser in place of our Auction Royale that we had been doing since 2012. We're trying to change things up a little bit, get the kids and students involved. Mm-hmm. And again, all the proceeds that we raise from this play, and it's taking place November 13th through to November 15th at the high school. But the proceeds goes towards our funding need. And what that is, it provides facility improvements at all our school locations.
Yeah.
And again, we're a private institution. We rely on the generosity of our donors, of people that support these events. So, we're trying to provide a great play and raise as much money as we can during that time.
You mentioned, when you want to do something like this, the ambition of it. And I always admire this when it comes to musicals in general, because your normal production is going to take work and take a lot of energy and people. Times that by at least 20 for a musical. And you mentioned getting people to come out, the kids too. So that is the first step and the biggest
part. You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Marco Rubio met with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Jerusalem today and vowed unwavering support for Israel's number one goal.
The people of Gaza deserve a better future, one that cannot begin until Hamas is eliminated.
Netanyahu called President Trump the greatest friend Israel has ever had in the White House. Still no motive in last week's murder of conservative critic Charlie Kirk. CBS's Andres Gutierrez with the latest on the suspect.
22-year-old Tyler Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. He has not confessed to commit assassination to authorities. He will be formally charged on Tuesday in Utah County.
Noah Wiley, nominated for an Emmy 5 times for ER, has finally won his first prize for actor in a drama series.
To anybody who's going on shift tonight or coming off shift tonight, thank you for being in that job. This is for you.
Stephen Colbert won his first for the now canceled